Praise the Lord. Man, we greet you tonight in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here. And we give him the praise and glory and honor. I'd like to ask you to stand with us as we open the service in a word of prayer. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank you and praise you. And Lord, we even though it's turning cold now and the winter time setting in, Lord, we thank you for the warmth of your spirit. We thank you for your blessings, your mercy and grace. We thank you for your word and for revelation. And Lord, we just ask that you would lead us and guide us tonight. We're missing Brother Michael and Sister Amanda and different ones, Lord. Brother Goomba on the mission field. May you just bless each one. And Lord, that you would just have your way. Help us and guide us. Lead us and guide us, Lord, and in the word tonight, Lord, as we speak to the people and those that are here, those that would listen in. And Father, we know that you have a purpose in all things. And Lord, sometimes we don't know, we don't understand, but Lord, our anchor is in you. And Lord, that you are the Alpha and Omega. Lord, that you are you're infinite, Lord. You know all things. And Lord, you're omnipresent. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. And we commit all things to you now, asking for leadership of the Holy Spirit as we go in the furtherance of this service. So we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Good to see each one. And now we've been out of town now for a few days. Sister Rhonda went out last week with my mom to be with her for the operation that she was in, and we were thankful. I told you already that we were thankful that they didn't find any cancer, and so she was there. And so when I went down on Tuesday, I left Tuesday evening and drove straight through. Got in around one or so in the morning, and so we got to have some time with the family, and it was good, and some we hadn't seen in a while. And so then we come back Saturday. We actually left Saturday night, but we just pulled off and napped a little bit. And we got back Sunday morning sometime. It was 4 noon, mid-morning, I guess. And so we trusted each one had a good Thanksgiving, and we just were really feeling bad for Brother Michael and Sister Amanda. Now they're out tonight, and they've been real sick this week and yesterday and today. I've talked to Michael, and he's really, you can just tell talking to him. He's really rough, sounding rough, and he's really been going through it. I think Sister Amanda is doing better now, but it's been hitting Brother Michael pretty hard. And we want to think they were trying to have some time together for Thanksgiving, and they did get together, but I don't think they got to finish that fellowship and family time until some of them started being sick. And so we want to thank the Lord so much, though, that Sister Betty and Sister Rebecca haven't had any symptoms, and we're trusting that they don't, that the Lord will continue to bless Sister Betty especially and strengthen her. And they sent us a picture of her over at Brother Michael's house during the week while we were gone, and she looked really good. She looked happy, she was smiling, she looked bright, and so we were really thanking the Lord for that. And we appreciated it so much. There's been some sickness going around since we come back. Several members of our family, Jana, all of her family, and some of Matt's children, Cole and Tyler and the Madison friend, they've all been sick and vomiting. And I don't think the things that's here, it's, of course, Michael and them said they're tested positive for COVID. So I don't know what the children have had, but just if you've been looking at the news, you know that what has come in now, China now, is bringing in another disease. And they're calling it walking pneumonia, but which we've had that. They've used that name before. But I think this is something new, and it's really bad. And so their people have been getting it by the thousands. And so now it just arrived a day or two ago. I think maybe Monday it arrived in New York. They found it. And so with the people traveling, coming in, and so especially in New York is the center. That's where a lot of them come in at. And so those things are really, it's really a perilous time for the world. The bride is resting in him. So even though the world is at war, the world is in such terrible shape, we're thanking God that we are resting in him. Now, we haven't heard anything from Brother Goomba in the last week. I think maybe Sister Emily will give us a report tonight. But we did see where he got his visa for India. And so we're trusting the Lord gives him a good journey there and good meetings, and that he's a blessing to the people. I know he will be. And so we appreciate the Lord for that. So now we're not going to try to have a song service. Brother Michael, we don't got the piano and we don't have a singer. So we're not going to try to do what we can't do. We fake it sometime when Sister Amanda's here. She sings louder and we just kind of follow right with her. And so she's done really good to help us. And of course, Brother Michael, he's a good singer, but I'm certainly not. And so I know it, so I don't have to pretend. But now, when we left our last service, now we're on part 18 now of God's eternal and everlasting covenants. And last time we talked about the fullness of time. And in that lesson, of course, that thought will continue on for the next couple of services anyways. But tonight I want to take the subject, the fullness of the Spirit and the fullness of the Word. And so I want to bring that out a little bit. And then on Sunday, we'll come to the fullness of all things. And so Brother Branham talked, he used the word a lot. He used that word a lot. And it surprised me some of the places that he placed it. And so, but we're just going to take it little by little. And so tonight we're going to start in the Church Ages book. And actually we might just, we're going to be in the Church Ages book, for this service altogether, several places. I'm starting on page 363, and, I trust you got the quotes. And, now I want to apologize. I'm not sure, you know, we have the church has the group there of Faith Tabernacle on the WhatsApp. So when we make an announcement, we put it on the group, and then everybody gets it. And so now, but I didn't think, we were busy working and getting ready to go, and I didn't think about letting Sister Evelyn know, and I didn't mention it to Brother Michael. So I'm not sure if he sent her an email or not. I sent her one just a while ago. Because I realized that I had I'd forgot to do it before we left. And so I don't know if she knew what was going on or not. Maybe she heard it if we announced it before we left. But anyways, if she's on, is she on? Okay, so we greet her tonight. And so sorry we didn't get to talk to her before we left. So now, in the Church Ages book, page 363, paragraph 1. Now, I said a moment ago that the false vine came into full fruitation in this age. Now, this is the Laodicean age, and Brother Branham is identifying that the false vine comes to fullness of, in other words, ripeness, in other words, maturity. It's coming to that full fruitation of manifesting exactly what it is. And it was in this last age. This was the time for this to take place. Her fruit would mature and ripen. That is correct. And this evil-spirited church, full of iniquity, will be revealed as the mustard seed that grew into a tree, wherein lodged the fowls of the air. And at her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. See, now he's identifying the false church, and he's calling it evil-spirited church, even though we already have established that they can have the genuine Holy Spirit, be anointed with the genuine Holy Spirit, and yet still be an evil-spirited church, still be the devil. And so devil-led, devil-possessed, the devil in all of it because of deception. At her head will be the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. Now, as this church is coming into full fruition, into full ripeness, into full identification, because that's what's happening. That's the purpose of something coming to maturity, is to identify it fully what it is. And so this, as it comes to this maturity, the prophet is telling us that it has a head, and that head is Satan. That head is Antichrist. It's an Antichrist spirit, and he's identifying it as the mystery of iniquity. And now Paul spoke of that in the Ephesian church age, and he told us that this mystery, that this Antichrist spirit would be revealed in the last age. And so now that's what he's saying here when he's identifying this maturity, this ripeness of the church. Then the head of that church is to be exposed in this day and hour. All of this is true. And if this is true, then it must also be true that the bride church will mature, and her ripeness shall be identification with her Lord by means of the word. Now, I want to read that again. I want to read it slowly. But if that false church is coming to full fruition, then he's saying, then the bride has to be also. If that is, then this is also. You can't have half of it. When you plant the seed, you put it out there, the weeds, the wheat and the tares, it comes up together, and they come to the maturity around the same time. And so if one is there, the other one is there. So it must also be true that the bride church will mature, and her ripeness shall be an identification. That's why I said that the false church is being identified, that the head, the Antichrist, is being identified. So is Christ being identified in the bride church. See, her ripeness shall be an identification with her Lord by means of the word, and her head, who will come to her, is the mystery of godliness. Wow, what a difference. One is the mystery of iniquity, and the other one is the mystery of godliness. That's the head of the church. That's the head of the bride, which indeed is Christ. And as the false church, with all cunning and diabolical power, made up of political force, physical force, and demons of darkness, come against the true vine. The true vine with the fullness of the Spirit and the Word. Now that's our title, our subject tonight. The fullness of the Spirit and the fullness of the Word. So he's identifying the bride. The true vine with the fullness of the Spirit and the Word will do the very acts of power that Jesus did. Then as she nears her headstone, becoming like him through the word, Jesus will come that the bride and groom may be forever united as one. So he's speaking of his coming here, and he's going to say it some more in some of these other places we're going to read, that it's his coming that identifies her. It's his coming that is bringing this ripeness, this maturity to manifestation. So, as she nears her headstone, becoming like him through the word, Jesus will come that the bride and groom may be forever united as one. Already, the visible manifestations of what I have been telling you are seen all around us. The ecumenical move of the tares is factual. But also, it is a fact that the prophet for the last age must be bringing forth a message from God that will forerun the second coming of the Lord. Now, for all of those people, because this is going out and to some of the brethren in other places, and so some of the questions that have come. For those people that are holding to those quotes that Brother Branham said, if I'm not him, I'm laying the foundation for him. He's identifying here that that prophet is in the land. And so there's not two prophets at the same time. There's only one prophet at a time, and he was that prophet. And so he's saying, by all the scripture that's fulfilled, all the things that we see happen, all the manifestations of the Spirit, all the manifestations of the Word, it's a fact that the prophet has to be in the land now. He has to be bringing forth his message of to gather the bride together. He must be bringing forth a message from God that will forerun the second coming of the Lord. For by his message will the hearts of the children be turned back to the Pentecostal fathers. With the restoration of the word will come the restoration of the power. Praise be to God. Do you get that? With the restoration of the word, then will come forth the restoration of the power in its purest form, in the greater form of what it's supposed to be, not in the deception, not in the false anointed, not in the hypocrisy, not in all the different ways that it's been perverted by Satan's tactics. But now, when the fullness of the word comes, then that power returns upon the bride. Page 362, paragraph 1. Christ, the great harvester, is now reaping the fruit of the earth. He gathers the wheat into the garner by coming for his own. Now here he goes again. He's talking about the coming. And he's telling it that how he's gathering them together, how this maturity is taking place, how that he is gathering the wheat. And remember, the tares had to be gathered first. Then he gathers the wheat. So if he's gathering the wheat, then the tares have already been bound together. And we know that. We know it by the scripture. We know it because we look out here and we see the ecumenical movement. We see Rome. We see the Protestant churches. We see all of the different ones that have come together. So, Christ, the great harvester, is now reaping the fruit. Now, you don't reap the fruit until it's mature. And when it's mature, that's when you reap it. He gathers the wheat into the garner by coming for his own. Now, that's exactly what took place at the opening of the seals. He has come. In the fullness of the word, in the fullness of his spirit, he has come. And that coming is to gather together. That coming is to gather the bride together to become one with Christ. See, and receiving them forever unto himself. Then he returns to destroy the wicked with fire unquenchable. Now notice, he comes and he gathers the bride together, receiving them. So there is that quickening, there's that rapturing, there's that new birth. There's a marriage, the oneness, coming together and becoming one. So then he returns to destroy. So did he leave? Brother Branham said that When the word is raptured in the bride, it leaves the earth. That's why the chaos. That's why the satanic spirit that's taking over the earth today. That's why the perversion. That's why the reason that the gays and the trans and all of that, that's the reason why you're seeing in this war that's going on now, the hatred that there is for one another, no love for humanity, it doesn't matter if you just hate somebody because of their nationality. And we've had it here, hate somebody just because of the color of their skin. We've had it in every way, in every angle, in every different form that it could be had. But now the world is going into complete chaos. It's going into complete chaos now. And only the bride has that sanity that to hold things in perspective. And the only way she's able to do that is because she has an anchor, because she has the word of the Lord that's holding her focused on what is truth. And the rest of the world is gradually, they're just going away, 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 away. And it's happening in the churches. And that's the reason that the churches, that they can declare to believe God and love God. And you watch people cut their hair off. The women cut their hair off. They put their pants on. They expose their body like they would have never done when they were walking in the Spirit. And now the Spirit's left them. The Spirit has left them. They've left the Word. And now it's going into complete rebellion, complete perversion, going completely away from the Word of God. And so Brother Branham says that Christ comes down, he talked about it at the opening of the seals when he's getting his bride, and he said he's caught up, and said then he comes back. He goes up and he comes back down. And so what does that mean? what does that mean? Does that mean he came down in a body and he goes up and he comes back down again? Not like that. Not like that at all. But he's fulfilling the promise. He's fulfilling the word of what he said he would do. The bride is caught up in heavenly places. And so the bride is not in the world. Spiritually speaking, the bride is not in the world. And I've been looking at that word. It really hit me this morning when I was studying. And I've been thinking about that scripture, that he created the worlds. And so when it comes to me, you know, my wife especially knows, I'm not good with English. I've never been good with English. I never liked English. As far as, you know, all of the rules and all of that. And I forget stuff about it. She's told me many times talking about the S on the end of the word. I always get confused whether it's you just put the S on there or whether it's an apostrophe S. And so when I got to looking at that worlds this morning, and so I got to thinking about it, trying to run it down and what it meant. And so with the apostrophe, and I hope I got this right, it's possession. And without the apostrophe, it's plural. Is that right? So in the scripture, it's without the apostrophe. It's worlds, just with S. That means plural. That means plural. And so there's a lot of things he said about that. And so it's really struck me. And I hope that we'll get to get into it sometime. But the bride has been caught up out of the world. She's been caught up out of the world. And she's in another atmosphere. She's in another place. She is sitting in heavenly places. She is in the presence of God. She's in the presence of Christ. Now, 362:2, still we're in the Church Ages book, the Laodicean Church Age, sorry. The message of the tares and the wheat, Matthew 13, 24 to 30, is now also fulfilled. Is it going to be fulfilled? No, It is now fulfilled. The mystery of the tares and the wheat is now fulfilled. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath the tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servants said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Now, Brother Branham is saying, this mystery has been fulfilled. This has been fulfilled. And how? We've seen it happen. But we understand what it is that has taken place. We understand that the wheat and the tares, they were to gather in the church through the church ages. And then coming to the last age, the scripture promised that God was going to separate them. And he separated them by bringing one into a deeper realm of the word and the other one going into apostasy and going away from the word and rejecting the word. And so yet when in saying that, in rejecting the word, yet still religious, still very religious, still worshiping God, claiming to be a Christian, claiming to know God, claiming the power of God, claiming the gifts, claiming all of that, and yet rejecting the word of God. So this mystery has been fulfilled. And when we read it, we know what it is. We know exactly, we understand it, that what the wheat and the tares are and how they've been separated now. They've been separated by the word. And so one is gone into theology, you know, organization, man-made ideas, and the other one has gone into the presence of God, caught up into the word, to the fullness of the revelation. So there, the scripture talking about that harvest, that maturing, and that's what the prophet is bringing to us. The wheat and the tares, which from the first age until now have grown side by side, are harvested. Now notice, until now, they have grown side by side, but now they're harvested. And when they're harvested, they're not growing. They're not growing, they're just maturing, they're ripening. So there's no more, the plant's not getting green anymore, the plant's beginning to die. All the shuck and all the stalk, everything on it is starting to die now, and the wheat, all the life is being brought into the seed itself. And it's there in the seed. The germ of life now is inside of that seed, and that's where it's hidden. And that's where it's hiding at now. It's not in the shuck. The shuck's pulled away on all of that. So now there's a separation. No longer are they one. No longer are they growing together. No longer are they together. Now they're separated. And it's the word, it's the ripening that separates them. And that's just what we read in the first quotes that we read. It's that ripening that identifies her. And it's his coming that identifies her and separates her from this. So that does away with your foolish virgins. That does away with all your other groups, with everything else. Now it's the bride and the bride alone. And everything else, whatever they are, every group, everything that has rejected the word, everything that has any idea, there's thousands of religions in the world today. And many of them are greater, they have a bigger following. They have a bigger following than true Christianity, than Christianity even. Islam is much larger, much bigger numbers than Christianity. But within Christianity, the true elected seed is a very, very small group. So that's been separated now. Now the bride walks alone. Now she walks with Christ. What Nicaeus set out to accomplish has finally come to pass. And with all the might of organization, the false church turns from any vestige of truth, and with political might reinforces herself with state backing and sets out to eradicate forever the true believer. But just when she's about to accomplish her cowardly plot, the wheat is gathered into the garner. Praise be to God. Just when Satan is about to deceive all, not talking about that killing like they're trying to do in Israel, or that killing like they tried to do in the Dark Ages, not that. But when they're trying to bring spiritual death upon all of the church, upon all the people, by false teaching, by denominational ideas, then Christ comes in and breaks the seals. Christ comes in and opens the word and delivers her from that cage of death, delivers her from that lie that Satan has produced. No longer will the wheat and tares grow side by side. Huh? No longer will they grow side by side. There has been a separation. And that separation has separated the wheat and the tares. The tares have been bound together in their organizations, in their ecumenical moves, and the bride has been separated into the presence of God, sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, becoming one with Him, in union with Him, and filled with His Spirit, led by His Spirit, and no longer can they walk together. No longer can they sit side by side. That's the reason that it's a little group tonight, is because of that separation. The big groups are they're going away. For Satan, they'll continue. For the elect, they're getting smaller and smaller. They'll continue like that. I'm not saying they'll just be like this. There are bigger groups than this, but at the same time, they never were really for the elect. Great groups that God's always had a little group. No longer will the wheat and tares grow side by side. No longer will the tares receive of the blessings of God because of the presence of the wheat. For the wheat will be gone, and the wrath of God will be poured out in the sixth seal, which will end in the utter destruction of the wicked. And look at where the world's going now. Look at the spirits that are coming on people. Not just the spirit that are causing this perversion, and that people are going into this perversion, where where you might have used to think that a trans person or a what used to be, I think it started out what they called drag, where men would dress like a woman, and then it went from drag, where they were just dressing, until they tried to actually become that, and they took hormones, and they started changing their body and doing those things. And so not just those that got that perverted spirit on them to do that, but the perverted spirit of the people that are promoting that, that are accepting that, or that are counting that as a normal thing, that's counting that as a right thing. And then if you don't accept that, then you're, in their eyes, you're the one who's got the problem. You're the one who is abnormal. You're the one who is morally wrong. And so it's because they don't have any spiritual understanding. And if somebody brings, and I was reading just recently where some man was bringing what the scripture talked about on gays, and they completely come against him. They completely rejected what he was saying because he was posting what the scripture said about it and about how wrong it was and the perversion of it all. They don't want that. They can take the scripture and they can twist it around so that it's okay. And you know that it's not. It never was. It never will be. You're not going to change the word of God, no matter how perverted you get. And that's all that is now. It's just a perversion. I want to read this again because this is striking. No longer will the tares receive of the blessings of God because of the presence of the wheat. Why? Because they've been separated. They're not together. They've been separated. For the wheat will be gone, and the wrath of God will be poured out in the sixth seal, which will end in the utter destruction of the wicked. Now, I said a moment ago that the false vine came into full fruitation in this age. Her fruit would mature and ripen. That's correct. This evil-spirited church, full of iniquity, will... I already read that, didn't I? Did I have that twice? I did. Well, I don't know how I'd done that. So let me skip through here. Okay, 363. And I thought we read that too. 363, okay. I guess I got those mixed up. So I think what happens when I put 362 in, I put it in between this and so. Let's read 363, paragraph 3. Let me read this. What crucial times are these in which we live? How careful we must be that we remain true to this word and not take from it or add to it. For he who would speak where God has not spoken makes him a liar. And what I have particularly in mind is this. Now he's wanting to pinpoint this thing. And there's a lot of different things he could go to do it. But what he has in mind right now, he's telling us, he's got something specific in mind that he's wanting to point out concerning this, taking this scripture to add to or take away. What I have particularly in mind is this. About the turn of the century, the hunger for God that was generated in the Philadelphian age brought a cry for the Spirit of God. And when the cry was answered by God, sending forth manifestation in tongues and interpretation and prophecy, a group immediately and most contrary to the word drew up a doctrine that tongues was the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Tongues were far from the evidence. They were manifestation, but not evidence. The falsity of the doctrine can not only be seen by a lack of scripture to substantiate it, but those who subscribe to the doctrine immediately organized on the basis of the doctrine, proving that they were not in the truth as they would have people to believe. Isn't that something? The very fact that they organized proved they were not in the truth. So what he is doing is bringing a very cold, hard fact that denomination in any form, organization in any form, you don't have to go out here to these denominations. You can organize a group just like this. You can organize it by saying this and this and this and this. This is it. You got to do this and this and this and this. No, you got to believe this message. You got to receive this message. You've got to receive Christ. He's got to be living on the inside. And when that happens, you're not going to turn it into an organization. You won't, because that's death. See, those who subscribe to the doctrine immediately organized on the basis of the doctrine, proving that they were not in the truth as they would have people to believe. Oh, it looked good. It looked like the return of Pentecost. But it proved that it wasn't. That wasn't the return. Think about now what he's saying. That wasn't the return. But it proved it wasn't. It could not be, for it organized. You know something else that it didn't have? Not only did it organize, but it also did not have the messenger to the age. It couldn't be. It couldn't be the real thing because the messenger had not come. He wasn't back there. He was just being born around that time. I think Azusa Street was in 1906. And the prophet was born in 1909. So there was an outpouring of the Spirit. There was an outpouring of the gifts. There was much manifestation. And then immediately they organized and said, you got to do this. You got to do this. You got to do this. That was okay for the moment. But that's not it. And the scripture types it and proves it and identifies it. It looked like the return of Pentecost, but it proved it wasn't. It could not be, for it organized. That is death, not life. It looked so close to the real that multitudes were deceived. Multitudes were deceived. Sardesian Church Age, page 272. Another illustration that we might take is the story of Israel leaving for Canaan land. God's purpose in this age was to bring Israel out and to take them in. Now, we know that's redemption. And we know that's exactly what took place when the cry came in this day, calling them out of denomination, calling them out of that Antichrist spirit, calling them out of the partial word into the full word. That was what he did. It was calling them out of that, but then there was a calling into Christ. And so that is where the bride is. To take them in to the end that they might serve him. Thus, when they left Egypt, they all came out under the blood of the sacrificial lamb. Now, that was the ages. They were under the blood. The blood was shed for seven church ages. And then in the seventh age, there was a cry that went out. And that cry was, come out of her, my people. Separate yourself from these theological ideas, these man-made ideas. See, thus when they left Egypt, they all came out under the blood of the sacrificial lamb. They all went through the waters of baptism in the Red Sea, and they all enjoyed the mighty miracles. They all ate of the manna, and they all drank of the rock. And in so far as the obvious external blessings and manifestations were concerned, they all partook in like and equal manner. Now, I want to point out something, and I don't think I have the quote. I think somehow I accidentally set it aside and didn't get it in here. Maybe it is, I don't know. But I was looking for it at the last minute here, and I couldn't find it. But one of the things Brother Branham pointed out, he's taking this type. See, he's given us an illustration of them leaving Egypt. And he's bringing it to us to show us this day and hour. And one of the things, when he was talking about the manna, he made it clear that that manna was only good for that day. You couldn't take that manna over to another day. So that manna, it was a type of the word of the church ages. And you couldn't take it over. You had to have the fresh manna. In every age, God sent another angel, another star, another messenger. And that one had the manna for that day. And that's where you had to be. That's what you had to eat. And if you wanted to go back and eat that of another age, then it was death. You couldn't take it. And so you had to come into the word of the age. And then there was going to come a double potion. And that's where we're at. But when they came to Moab, those who joined in the feast of Baal-peor all died. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness, for it was there that they refused the word of God and turned it down. Now, this is what Hebrews 6, 1-9 speaks of, which was brought out so carefully in the Pergamon age. You can't go along with just part of the word. You can't go with part of it. It must be all. It must be the fullness of the word. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the fullness of the word, and in this day, the fullness of the Spirit. Now, I read a quote today where Brother Branham said that at Pentecost they had the fullness of the Spirit. And I was surprised when I read that. But The promise of this day was to return the fullness of the Spirit and the fullness of the Word. And so we had to get back to something that was in Him, and that was Him. He was the fullness of the Spirit, and He was the fullness of the Word. It was Christ. There are people who, let's see, you can't go along with just part of the Word. You have to take all the Word. There are people who seem involved in the things of God almost 100%. They are like Judas. No one but Jesus knew exactly what kind of person Judas was. So the day came that Judas did exactly what Israel did at Belpierre. He decided that he wanted to join with the false vine forces and enter into a financial, political organization of anti-word, anti-Christ religion, and he did so. But yet, remember, he still thought that he was serving God because it was deceiving. It was deception. That's what took place. And that's what it is today. Brother Branham already told us. It's deception. He was fooled. The other 11 were not. Now he's talking about Judas. They could not be, for they were of the very elect. So when Judas left and betrayed the Lord, his name was removed from the book of life. Revelation 22:19. Now I'm sure that you've noticed that those whose names were in the book of life were a part of the religious order of that day that centered around the true God and worship of Him. Though they did not worship according to truth, word, like Judas, they didn't go all the way. That's the problem in every age. They're not coming to the fullness. They're not coming, even though when we speak of those ages, like Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, we say they didn't have the fullness. But they had the fullness for their day. They had the fullness for the hour. They had all that God had given them to bring the people. They had the word of salvation for their day, for their age, for their hour, to deliver the people of that day, to introduce them to God, to the truth. And they had to come to that. They couldn't come to anything else but that what God had brought forth. See? Like Judas, they didn't go all the way. We see how Judas was chosen of God. He was instructed in truth. He shared knowledge of the mysteries. Wow. He had a ministry of power granted unto him, and he healed the sick, and he cast out devils in Jesus' name. But when the showdown came, he sold out for gold and political power. He did not go up to Pentecost to receive the Spirit of God. He was devoid of the Spirit. And make no mistake about it, a person that is truly baptized by the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, receiving the fullness of the Spirit, will be in the Word all the way. Now, if you're in the Word all the way, then you've got the fullness of the Word. And that's what he's saying. And that's what he's already said. It will be the fullness of the Spirit, and it will be the fullness of the Word. And that's where the bride is. And that's where all the rest are failing. That's where they always fail, is because they only take part. They can have a religious spirit. They can do a lot of things. But they fail to take the fullness of the Word. Make no mistake about it. I'm sorry. That is the evidence. That is the evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Judas failed. Multitudes fail right there. When they fail to go on in that Word, their names are taken off of the book of life. Amen. Still in the Sardesian church age. Now, they had what the world could not have. Jesus said when he went away, he would send his Spirit. See? He would send his Spirit, which the world could not receive. That is right. The world, or the world system, could not receive him. That is what organization is world system. Show me a world system church that is full of the Holy Ghost. I want to see it. If you can show me such a church, listen to what he's going to say now. If you can show me such a church, you are finding a mistake in the word. Yes, sir. Not one of these messengers was organized. Either they were put out or they got out because they were convicted of the sin of organization. And how can the Holy Spirit possibly be an organization when it is organization that takes the place of the Spirit and denominations take the place of the Word? You see how he puts it perfectly? You see how he ties it? You see how he identifies it? You see how Satan is exposed? The church is exposed because they've come to full fruition. They've come to full manifestation. They're fully identified now with the Spirit and the Word that they have, the idea. And so is the bride. She's identified with the fullness of the Spirit and the fullness of the Word. Remember, organization is death. It just can't be any other way. If the world takes over, the Spirit departs. Yes, the Spirit is not seven spirits, but one. He will always be the same and act the same. And the seven messengers will have the same Spirit and teach the same word and have the same power. And if the church is the true church, it will have the very same Spirit and word and acts of power that they had at Pentecost. By experience, it will be a Pentecostal church. And there will be tongues and interpretation and prophecy and healings. God will be in the midst of her, and God will declare himself in the midst of her as he always has. Hallelujah. And she will be unorganized. Don't forget that. We know he's talking about the Laodicean age here. Don't confuse it. He's talking about that. We know we're beyond that. We know that Christ has come in the fullness of the word, fullness of the Spirit, and has revealed the message, has revealed himself, has unveiled himself so that the bride can see him in his fullness and manifest himself in his fullness in her. And so we know it's come to a higher order now. Now, we can see that Jesus Christ is revealing himself through the ages by his Spirit in the messengers. And they are as Moses was to the children of Israel. They are as Moses was to the children of Israel. As he had the revelation for his day, so each messenger had God's revelation and ministry for that day. Now that is exactly for us also. The difference is what they fail to realize today is that seventh angel message to the Laodicean church age. When that message was finished, when it was fulfilled, then the fullness came. Then Christ came. He came in the form of the revealed word, the fullness of the revealed word, and he came in the form of the fullness of his Spirit. And in that form, he made himself known to his bride. In that form, he identified himself. In that form, he identified who was bride, who was the elect. He identified who she was because they are the same. Him and the bride is the same. Thus, when we see that the messengers are in his hand, we see the Lord identifying himself with these men and granting them his power. It is not enough that he has associated himself with the whole church, which he saw when he was seen standing among the seven golden lampstands. Nor is it enough that we see the fivefold ministry of Ephesians 4. Apostles, prophets, teacher, evangelists. For in each age, the church goes astray. It is not just the laity, and this is why I'm reading this. I want to get in this little piece. It's not just the laity, but the clergy group, shepherds, are wrong, as well as sheep. Then God brings himself on the scene as the chief shepherd in the ministries of these seven men to lead his people back to the truth and the abundant power of that truth. God is in his people, all of his people. For if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And he is the Word that would be the Word recognized in the people. Don't miss that. He'll repeat it. He's going to say it in another way in a minute. That would be the Word recognized in the people. He just got done saying a few minutes ago that the world cannot recognize the Spirit of Christ because he's not in them, but that he would be in you, and that that Spirit in you would lead you and guide you in all truth. It would give you the revelation of himself. It would give you the revelation of the Word. It would give you the revelation of the day and the age that you're living in. That's what the Spirit comes for. But the world can't receive it. If they could receive it, then they would know what you know. But they don't know because they can't. He has placed a special leadership in these men of his own choosing, and through the determined counsel of his own will. They appear once in each age. It is the same Spirit in them. What a far cry is this from the heresy of Rome. They have a man of their own choosing, one after the other, none producing the power of God, none abiding in the Word of God, each one differing from the one before him, and adding what he desires, as though he were God. Listen to this. God is not in it, but he is in his messenger, and he who would have the fullness of God. Listen to this. Those people on the earth that would have the fullness of God, this is how they're going to get it. Those that would have the fullness of God would follow the messenger, as the messenger is a follower of the Lord by his word. And this is what has happened in this age. They are going away by the thousands. They are going away from the messenger. And what they don't realize now is we're not following the seventh angel messenger. What we have now is the fullness of the word and the fullness of the Spirit. And the messenger that we have now is Christ himself. It's not a man. Now Christ incarnated himself in that vessel. Just as God incarnated himself 2,000 years ago, that was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now in this last days, God came in the form of the fullness of the Word and the fullness of the Spirit, and now he's poured that out. He poured that out in a man, and now he's poured it out in his bride. That's exactly what Jesus said. He said all that was in Christ, he poured into the church. And now that prophecy, that scripture had to be fulfilled. That had to be fulfilled. And that came. Brother Branham said the ministry came to perfection. Nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect except God himself. He said the ministry came to perfection when it reproduced Jesus Christ again in flesh. Don't confuse what I'm saying. I'm not saying that Brother Branham was the fullness of the Godhead bodily as Jesus Christ, the man Jesus Christ. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the fullness of the Word and the fullness of the Spirit, as God gave it in this day at the opening of the seals, that's what was incarnate in that man. And I don't know how else to say it. I know it's a razor edge. It is a razor edge, and so I'm careful how I say it, and but sometimes it sounds like you're going another way. But the prophet said, "We have the fullness of the Word and the fullness of the Spirit," and so that's what we have, and that's what was in the prophet, and God was incarnate in that prophet. That's what he said. And so that's what we're saying. Down through the centuries we could go, and we find a Moses, and a Jeremiah and a John the Baptist. And each one of these was God's eternal thought expressed in its season. And then we come to Jesus, the Logos. He was the perfect and complete thought expressed. And he became known as the Word. That is what he is and forever will be. And now it says that he hath chosen us in him, Jesus, before the foundation of the world. That means, he's going to interpret it now. This is what it means, what he just said. He hath chosen us in him. Now, if you ever thought about what is he saying when he says that, he's going to tell you right here. That means that we were right there with him in the mind and thoughts of God before the foundation of the world. And that gives an eternal quality to the elect. You can't get away from that. See? Let me inject a thought here. Even our natural birth is based on election. The female ovaries produce many, many eggs. But why is it that at a certain time, a certain egg comes down and not another one? And then amongst the male sperm, for no known reason, a certain germ attaches itself to the egg, while others that could have just as easily attached themselves or had a better opportunity to do so did not do so and perished. There is an intelligence behind this. Now, is it our intelligence? Do we have anything in this physical predestination? Do we have any say-so in what any one of our children are going to be? Does the husband, does the wife, does anybody have any say-so in that? What color their hair is going to be? What color their eyes are going to be? How tall? How everything? You don't have anything. It's predestination. It's God predestinating every attribute about you and I. See, for no known reason, a certain germ attaches itself to the egg, while the others that could have just as easily attached had a better opportunity to do so. If you ever looked at them in the microscope, they're just bumping into each other. They're going all around and around and around. And finally, somewhere, they'll meet up. And some predestination makes them stay together and bring forth. There is an intelligence behind all this. Otherwise, what determines whether the baby is a boy or girl, blonde or brunette, light or dark type of eyes, etc.? With these thoughts in mind, think about Joshua and Caleb. Did not Jesus say in John 6:49, "Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead"? Those parents that died were necessary as the forefathers of the people to whom Jesus was speaking. They perished. Yet they were in the election of God naturally, as Joshua and Caleb were spiritually. See, but to go on, these elect were not only the eternal thoughts of God, which were to be expressed in flesh in their due season, but these same elect are called by another name. In Romans 4:16, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son." And not only this, but Rebekah had also received by one, even by our father Isaac. For the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of works, but of him that calleth. And remember, he talked about that calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. And these two brothers here, that God loved one and hated one, you know, one of them repented with bitter tears, but it didn't fix his problem. It didn't change. Him trying to say, him trying to make another decision, him trying to make another choice, it didn't work. Because according to election, he wasn't chosen. According to election, he wasn't elect. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made, and he said not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. See, according to Romans 4:16, we find that God has given a sure promise to all of Abraham's seed. And Paul puts himself and all believers under that designation because he says, Abraham, who is the father of us all. Then he goes on to not only narrow down his definition, but rather to finalize it in Galatians 3. Remember, those Jews were claiming that Abraham was their father. That was their claim. That was why they didn't believe they could be the children of the devil, because Abraham was their father by the physical election, the physical, the natural seed election. But they weren't the spiritual seed. But rather to finalize it, see, he identified the seed singular with Jesus and counted the seed children as children of the promise. And promise as having to do with election or the choosing of God. And that is exactly what we've been saying. Those who are of the royal seed are the elect of God, or the predestinated, or the foreknown of God, and we were in the mind of God and in his thoughts. And in very plain language, the true bride of Christ was in the mind of God eternally. Though not expressed, yet each came forth in the designated decreed season. As each member came forth, it became expressed, and it took its place in the body. That's why he had been building a body all the time. And that's why he said that the rapture, Luther was a part, Wesley was a part, the prophets was a part, in that they were helping build the body. It was a body that he was building. It was a word body. It was a spiritual body. It was the body of Jesus Christ. It was Christ manifesting himself, making himself known. He was revealing himself in those prophets. He was revealing himself in all those people back there, coming along till he came to the fullness, which was Christ. And then he poured out his spirit and he continued building the body. And in every age, that body was the word was coming forth, and that body was becoming a part of him, a part of him. And it was building him, the manifestation of him, his thoughts, his mind being expressed. Every age, every member of that body that was receiving the word was now coming to expression, coming to manifestation, to manifest who God is and what God is. They were being identified by the revelation of their day, by their hour. He was coming to them until in this day he came in his fullness. He came to gather, to become one with that bride. Praise be to God. As each member came forth, it became expressed and took its place in the body. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she is feminine in designation, she's also called the body of Christ. And it's very apparent that she ought to be called that, for she was predestinated in him, came from the same source. Where'd she come from? The same source, and was eternal with him, and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body, whereas God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, sister, this is predestination to me. This is predestination, because nobody, no physical person, no physical mind, no intellect, nothing can tamper with this. Nobody could mess this up. Nobody could take you in or take you out. Nobody can put you in. This God had every bit of this in his mind. and you were a part of him eternally in the mind of God. And that's exactly what he's saying here. You simply became manifested to take your place in the body. And the body is him, the Word, the Spirit. And you, in God's time, he took another part of himself and put it on display. He took another part of himself and he put it on display. It didn't become a child of God. It didn't become an elect. It was always an elect. It was always in him. It's him. It's just him. In this physical being, we didn't recognize that there was an eternal part in here. We didn't recognize how it could be eternal. We thought it was something like when we go to the store. I'm going to give you this and I'm going to get this. I'm going to do this and I'm going to get this. We thought there was something we were going to do to achieve this. Something we were going to do to earn this. The Catholics thought they were going to buy it. Different people thought different things. But then one day, it came down to these last days, and he revealed that bride was eternal with him, a part of him. And when she is made manifest on the earth, she is manifesting him. That's all it is. He just took another of his part of his thoughts, of his mind, of his word, and he put it on display. And that is just revealing some more of him. So every member of the body of Jesus Christ, you're seeing another part of him being displayed. And so that's why it's all different. Every one of them different. Everyone's displaying a different part. They have a different part of that attribute that he wanted to be put on display. You can't display what he wanted me to do. I can't display what he wanted you to do. No, each one's a part of that body. Praise be to God. See, I want to read this last part again. Thus, this bride is the literal spoken word seed bride. And though she's feminine in designation, she's also called the body of Christ. And it's very apparent that she ought to be called that. For she was predestinated in him. And came from the same source. I just love that. The same source. Not something different. Not something that he changed over and made it something. No, the same source. She was eternal with him and is now manifesting God in a many-membered body. Whereas once God was manifested in one member, even our Lord Jesus Christ. See? Now then, we are coming to a conclusion. And we are too now. I went, we're still, because we didn't have the song service, but let me just a little bit further. I'm not going to finish these quotes because I got some extra here. Now then, here we are coming to a conclusion. As the eternal Logos, God, was manifested in the Son, and in Jesus dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and that eternal one was the Father manifest in flesh, thereby gained the title of Son. Even so we, eternal in his thoughts, in our turn became the many-membered spoken word seed, manifest in flesh. And those eternal thoughts, now manifest in flesh, are the sons of God. Those eternal thoughts that are being manifested, those are sons and daughters of God. Those eternal thoughts that in their due season become manifested and take their place in the body, those are the sons and daughters of God. Think about it. Keep that together. Those eternal thoughts are the sons and daughters of God. Even as we are so called, we did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed, and therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. So, only the seed can be reborn. They can't be reborn. They can't receive the Spirit of God. They can't receive the fullness of the Word. They can't receive the fullness of the Spirit. They can't receive none of it. We did not become seed by the rebirth. We were seed. And therefore were reborn, for only the elect can be reborn. Because we were seed is the reason we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. That's why they're not sons and daughters of God, because they weren't an eternal thought in the mind of God. They were not a part of the attribute. They were not a part of God. So there's nothing in there to quicken. So now I want you to think. When Brother Branham said, you were in your great, 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 great grandfather, the same as you were in God. Now, whatever that was. Now, I don't have the ability to break all that down, break it all down, break it all down. But this one thing I know. You were in your great-great-great-grandfather because you were in God before the foundation of the world. And that seed that was in God was put in you, Brother Branham said, before the foundation of the world. And that seed, it came down through every one of those physical beings, until it landed in you and it became time for it to be germinated. In the non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. But there was something in you to quicken. So it had to be in there. God had put it in there, and in the time, in due season, God quickened it to bring it into manifestation, because it was a son or daughter of God, that seed that was in you, and that God put in there before the foundation of the world. You were seed. You didn't become seed. You were seed. Therefore, you were reborn. For only the elect can be reborn. Because we are seed is the reason that we could be quickened. In non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. So it was in you all the time. Hold this carefully in mind and take the next step. Redeem means to buy back. It restores to original owner. God, by his death, the shed blood, brought back his own. It can bring nobody else back. There's nothing in them to quicken. But in the elect, he brings them back because you were there. That's the difference. It restores to the original owner. God, by his death, the shed blood, brought back his own. He brought back the spoken word seed bride. My sheep hear my voice, word, and they follow me. You always were a sheep. You never were a pig. Huh? You never were a pig or a dog turned into a sheep. That's impossible. For every kind of life produces the same kind. And there's no change in species. And as we were in the thoughts of God and then expressed in flesh, there had to come a day when we would hear his voice, the word. And hearing that voice, become aware. What is that? That is realization. That is revelation. That is quickening power, making you recognize who you are, that you are elect. See, hearing that voice, become aware of our Father calling us and recognize that we are the sons of God. We heard his voice and cried out, as did the prodigal son, save me. Oh, my Father, I'm returning to you. A son of God can go a long time before he recognizes that he's a son. In fact, a lot of true Christians are like the story of the baby eagle that was hatched out under a hen. And you know that the eagle is a type of the true believer. And I'm going to skip that. But it's so good. At the bottom of that last prayer. And once a true son of God hears the cry of the Spirit by the word, he too will realize who he is and run to the great prophet eagle and be with him forever, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, he said, that's the elect. How are they going to do it? How are you going to ever have the fullness of the Spirit? By receiving the messenger. And who is the messenger today? It is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a man. It's not a church age messenger. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of the word. He is the fullness of the Spirit. And he has quickened the bride with the same. She has been quickened into the presence of Jesus Christ in heavenly places, forever seated in Him, because the union, the marriage has taken place. Praise be to His name. We're going to ask you to stand once again, and we're going to dismiss in prayer. May God bless you, each one. We want you to continue to be in prayer for Sister Betty, for Brother Michael, Amanda, and each one, Brother Goomba on the mission field, and many more. We ask you to pray for our family, and we just commit all to Him. He knows all things. He has a purpose in all things. And we that's where we're resting. We're just resting right there. We can't change it. We can pray. We can ask Him for all our heart's desire. But then we rest it. And we leave it in His hands. And that's all we can do. And so that's where we want to be. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, we thank You and praise You. We thank You for the words of life, Lord, that prophet has spoken to us tonight. We thank You, Lord, for revelation, to know You and the power of Your resurrection. We thank You, Father, to know the age and the hour. Lord, to know the promise, Lord, that's been manifested and fulfilled. Lord, all the many scriptures that have been fulfilled in this day and come to full manifestation. Lord, what a blessed people we are to see these things and to recognize it, Lord. When the world is wondering that somewhere in the future, Lord, you're gonna do all of these things that You've already done. Lord, we just praise You. Lord, we lift up Your lovely name. Lord, we thank You for Your mercy and grace upon Sister Betty, Lord. May You continue to bless her. May You continue to touch her, Lord, and Lord, there's never a moment. We don't know Your will, Lord, but we know that healing cancer is nothing. Lord, there's nothing too big or too small. There's nothing, Lord. We just commit those things to You daily, Lord. We commit it to You. Lord, we thank You for sparing her from these things, this sickness, Lord. We ask You would bless Michael, Amanda, Brother Glenn, now as he's tested positive, Lord. We pray that You would be with him, each one. Lord, that You would continue to be with our Brother Goomba. That You would strengthen him, bless his family here, Lord, the family there. Lord, that You would just be their comfort, their strength, their supplier of all needs, Lord. That You would just have Your way. Bless the children. Lord, bless this word to our hearts. Help us and guide us. So we thank You and praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.